Why are the gates of heaven so special? Here's Skip Heitzig to explain what they represent.
The pearl is the answer of the oyster to an irritation. And the New Jerusalem is God's answer to humanity that has crucified his son. He covers it. He lavishes beauty upon it. And how like God to have the gates of this city pearls. Reminders of how God took lives like ours and covered them and made them beautiful. These magnificent gates, speaking of magnificent suffering, showing us that the only entrance to God's presence is by the suffering of the Lamb of God.
Make the connection.
There are lots of different visions of what the city of the future will look like. The Jetsons predicted a future city full of flying cars and floating buildings. Other films, like Blade Runner, predicted future cities with a much more industrial, grungy, run-down look, but they still had flying cars. While our imaginations can come up with some pretty wild images of what the city of the future will look like, nothing compares to the wild imagery of the book of Revelation. And Skip Heitzig explores what the Bible reveals about the city of the future today here on The Connection. But before we get started, here's a note we recently received from one of our listeners. It's from Pablo in Ecuador, and it says, "Hi, receive greetings and blessings from Ecuador, South America. I'm an Ecuadorian, and 2 days ago I was looking for a Christian radio station in English on the internet in order to practice my English. I found KNKT 107.1, and I heard your first message about the end of times. I have to say it was a blessing. I'm already praying for you. Your Bible study is solid and charged with wisdom from God. Thanks again, Pablo." Well, Pablo, from North America to South America, blessings to you today as well, my brother. Thanks for taking the time to let us know that you're tracking with us through history's last chapter. And you can write us as well and share your own stories of how this ministry has blessed you when you write The Connection. P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free bonus teaching from Skip called God is Not a Swear Word. So write us today or call us at 1-800-922-1888. Now, let's open our Bibles and learn how God's city of the future is far more amazing than anything you may have seen on the Jetsons.
And make the connection.
Skip Heitzig continues our study in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 today. So as you find your place, we'll get today's study started.
God is a God who brings order, symmetry, and balance. He did it in creation, didn't he? There was chaos, and then God created the heavens and the earth, brought order to chaos. That's what God does. He doesn't bring chaos to order. And you can tell a person's life who's touched by God more and more that life should reflect the mind of God. Symmetry, order, balance, rather than chaos. It's the mind of God. It will be in the city of God. So that's the meaning, the magnificence, the measurement of the city. Let's go look at the materials. Look back at verse 18. The city was pure gold like clear glass. Does that make sense? Have you ever seen gold that you can see through? Gold is opaque, not transparent or translucent. So this is gold that you can see through. You've never seen it before, but you're going to live in it. Radiating from the Lamb, radiating from God, going through the translucent, transparent gold of the streets, of the city, through the clear, diamond-like walls. Now, somebody's going to read this and say, the thing that bothers me is there doesn't seem to be much privacy. If light is at its center, the Lamb, the Father, And it goes through streets and through the city and through the gates and through the walls and illuminates all of creation. No privacy. You're not going to need any. It's not going to be a point, obviously. It's certainly nothing to worry about. The foundation stones are given, and I'm not going to describe all of them. I tried to do that in first service, and I don't think it's really important, all that. Just, there's a whole lot of colors. It's enough to say. Well, let's read it. The foundations of the wall were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. I want to draw your attention to verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, no doubt, this is where the idea of the pearly gates comes from. But notice it's not pearly gates, they're pearl gates. One solid pearl. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. Now, if the walls that high, 1,500 miles, that's a big pearl. And that be some oyster. Right? Of course, this is an oyster, or a pearl, excuse me, of God's own making. I don't think it came from a gigantor oyster. But it does interest me that the entrances and the exits of this city are one huge pearl, 12 of these things around, three on each side. A pearl is the only stone, precious gem, that is formed by living flesh. That can't be said of any other stone, any other gem. It's a gem formed by living flesh. In fact, it's formed by irritation. An irritant, a piece of sand, a foreign body, wedges itself into the body of the oyster. The oyster must respond to the irritation. It does so by sending out secretions called nacre. And as the nacre, or nacre, depending on how you pronounce it, spreads over, it covers the sand, and another layer, and another layer, and eventually over time you have a beautiful pearl. So that which was an irritant, that which caused suffering, becomes something beautiful and valuable. That's what an oyster produces. The pearl is the answer of the oyster to an irritation. And the New Jerusalem is God's answer to humanity that has crucified his son. He covers it. He lavishes beauty upon it. And how like God to have the gates of this city pearls. Reminders of how God took lives like ours and covered them and made them beautiful. These magnificent gates, speaking of magnificent suffering, showing us that the only entrance to God's presence is by the suffering of the Lamb of God. I think it's a testimony for all of eternity. He was bruised for our transgressions, wounded for our sins. And there's those pearls. One of my favorite hymns speaks of the love of God. I don't know too many hymns, but one of them that I love, it says so much. It speaks of the love of God in Christ. And I think these pearls are sort of like the hymns of eternity. The hymn says, could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the oceans dry. Nor could that scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God in sending his son to take creatures like us and save us. And forever that reminder. We get in. We come close to God by the work of Jesus Christ. Well, that's the view from the outside. Ready to take a quick tour inside? Let's look inside. The marvels of the city are given in verse 22. I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. These are the marvels of the city. First of all, in looking for a place to worship, the adoration of the city, he looks for a temple. Why? Because every ancient city had many temples. The city of Jerusalem had a temple. But this new Jerusalem has no temple. Doesn't need a temple. Doesn't need a church. Doesn't need a cathedral. Doesn't need a home Bible study meeting place. Because God is ever present personally with his people. And Revelation 7 says he will spread his tabernacle over them. He will expand his temple so that all of the universe is his temple. You can't get away from God's presence. To have a church or cathedral or PA system in eternity would be a distraction. There will be perfect communion. No temple needed. The light we've already seen, that's in verse 23. Notice it says, though the Lamb is its light. Now, in eternity, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, will be having the glory that he had before he came to earth. Remember he prayed, Lord, give to me the glory that I once had with you before the world was. Here the prayer is answered. Light emanates not only from the Father, but from the Son. The Lamb is its light. When Jesus was on the earth, he was God, he was deity, but the deity was veiled. It was not void, it was veiled. He still created miracles, he could still read minds, but it was veiled. So much so that every now and then the veil was lifted and blew the disciples' mind. The Mount of Transfiguration, they see Jesus transfigured in brilliant light, like the light of the sun, transfigured with Moses and Elijah. And it's really not a wonder that Jesus shined on the Mount of Transfiguration. The marvel, the wonder, is that he didn't shine all the time because he was veiled. In eternity, the veil is lifted and the Lamb is the light of eternity. Notice the access of the city to everyone, all the nations. It says all the nations will walk in its light. They bring their glory into it, verse 26. Let me tell you what that means. The word nations is ethnos, ethnic groups. The nations, Gentiles, Jews, people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation gather together. In other words, heaven is not limited to one group. It's not a supremacist state. There is no prejudice in heaven. There's no class warfare in heaven. There's not black, white, yellow, rich, poor, just all of the people of God without any division. All is one. You know, in the days after the Civil War, when there was a lot of tension, mega tension over color, at an upscale town in Richmond, Virginia, it was a church service and the people were coming forward to celebrate communion, and row after row of people, that's how they did it back then, the row would come forward and have communion kneeling on the steps and then go back and then the next row would come. All people filing next to each other, kneeling next to each other in harmony and communion, having the Lord's table. A black man got up and walked down the aisle alone. As he walked down the aisle, people sort of gripped their pews, felt tension. Nobody would come with him. Nobody would kneel with him. Then one military man in a uniform got up. He was tall, stately, walked to the front and knelt with that black man to have communion. When he got up, the people realized who that man was. It was General Robert E. Lee. The general saying, "We're at the Lord's table. We are one. There is no division at the Lord's table. In heaven, there will be no tension. There will be no shame. We will all be one, walking in the light of the Lamb." Let's quickly now look at the first five verses of chapter 22 and see the main street of the city. Every city has a main drag, and so does this one. It was already mentioned back in verse 21. But now it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Eternity won't be boring. You'll be busy. What will I be doing? Serving. How will I serve him? I don't know. But you will be. There'll be plenty of variety. There's 12 different fruits on these trees that yield fruit monthly. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light for the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. When you read that tree of life, what does that remind you of? Genesis 3. That's where we first saw the tree of life in the garden. Now creation restored, recreation. There's the tree of life. You realize that the history of the world hangs on three trees: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, and the tree that Jesus was crucified on. The first tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was the place where salvation was sort of lost for man, where the reins went back to Satan, where man sinned, and that tree took away man's spiritual life. The second tree, the tree of life, was kept from man, lest he live forever in his sin. But that third tree, the cross of Jesus Christ, was the tree that brought us back to life. And now in the end, in heaven, there is that tree of life, standing and restored. Notice 12 kinds of fruit, one for each month. You say, now wait a minute, I thought you said this was eternity, the eternal state. It says month here. See, we found something. It says month. Well, you know, I think that's put there just to show us there are going to be cycles. It's going to be different. 12 different cycles or phases, and it's put in anthropomorphic terms, terms that men relate to. God, eternity, things that we can't relate to have to be described in terms that we can relate to. And so it simply says one for each month, regular cycle of provision filled with variety. Next question would be, wait a minute, it says there's no curse. Why do they need healing? It says it's for the healing of the nations. There's no death, no curse, no disease. Why do you need healing? The word healing is therapia, therapy. It's something that adds vigor to life, health to life. It's like taking vitamins. You don't take vitamins to cure a disease. You take them to add a supplement to your life, to add vigor, enhance your life. So it means health-giving, life-giving. It will enhance your eternal life. So what a city. Really, you can't say any more. We could talk and conjecture about the rest, but it's just described inside and outside. That's the Father's house. That's where Jesus prepared for you to walk in with him. What a city. Better than Rio, better than Rome, better than London, better than Santa Fe, Los Angeles. Have you chosen this city? Jerusalem has always been the choice of God. Why not the choice of man? When you choose God, he has in store for you this city. And this city will always satisfy you. Why? Because it says there is the river of water of life, clear as crystal. It doesn't say there's H2O there. This is called the river of water of life, whatever that is, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God. It could have spiritual significance. Jesus said a man must be born of water and the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 7 to all of the people in Jerusalem on the feast that if you believe in him, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Do you ever have water dripping out of your body? That's not the intent. It's spiritual refreshment. And when you come to Jesus Christ, there's a spiritual refreshment, a satisfaction that comes. Because whatever you drink of in this world, you'll always thirst again. You'll always thirst again. Paul Harvey on the radio told his radio audience, described how an Eskimo kills a wolf. He said, first the Eskimo coats his knife blade with animal blood and allows it to freeze. Then he adds another layer of blood and another until the blade is completely concealed by frozen blood. Next, the hunter fixes his knife in the ground with the blade standing up. When a wolf follows his sensitive nose to the source of the scent and discovers the bait, he licks it, tasting the fresh, frozen blood. He begins to lick faster, more and more vigorously, lapping the blade until the keen edge of the blade is bare. Feverishly now, harder and harder, the wolf licks the blade in the Arctic night. So great becomes his craving for blood that the wolf doesn't notice the razor-sharp sting of the naked blade on his tongue, nor does he recognize the instant at which his insatiable thirst is being satisfied by his own warm blood. His carnivorous appetite just craves more until the dawn finds him dead in the snow. Satan will come along and feed your taste, your crave of sin. He'll put something in front of you and go, lick this. And we go, okay. Because he knows that once we taste of it, we'll crave more and more. But we're never satisfied. We always have to have more. It becomes ensnaring and trapping. But a life following Jesus Christ satisfies you now. Life-giving water comes from you to others. And in eternity will be this water of life that speaks of the satisfying nature of a relationship with God. If you don't have that today, you can come to the waters. The invitation is open. One day it will be too late, but it's not too late now. This is time and space. We've just spoken about eternity. In time and space, you've got a choice. In eternity, you never will. But God has given you this opportunity this morning. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, come to Him.
You know, history's last chapter is your last chance in history to choose Christ, to choose life. Don't wait till that last chapter closes, because then it will be too late. Follow Skip's advice and come to Christ today. If you'd like to know how you can do that or would like someone to explain what it means to come to Christ, please call us 1-800-922-1888. And we're just about done with our series in the book of Revelation, but we still have a couple more days to get through, so be sure to come back and join us for the conclusion of this series. But before we conclude today's program, here's Skip.
I know that the month of October, and especially October 31st, can be a confusing and controversial season for many Christians. That's why this month we'd like to clear up some of the confusion about this holiday and our culture's obsession with the occult with this month's special offer from The Connection.
Vampires, Wicca, and white magic are everywhere in the media, and not just at Halloween. Really now, is there such a thing as a nice witch? Not according to Steve Russo.
Wicca is a self-styled religion. You might call it a buffet religion where there is no definitive answer to this is Wicca because of it being self-styled. What people do is they take a little bit from Christianity, they take a little bit from Hinduism, Buddhism. They make up their own religion. It is, in its essence, it really comes down to the worship of yourself because you define and design your own deities.
America is being slowly and successfully seduced by the occult, and you need to know how to handle it in your family.
We know as Jesus followers, as those who have made that decision to live their life for and like Jesus, the power we need is in the resurrected Christ. And what's happening is kids are looking and they're not finding reality. They're looking in the church. And that's not to say there aren't those who are living, you know, amazing lives as followers of Christ in the church, but kids aren't connecting with a lot of them.
Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, gives a blunt and practical approach to understanding the agenda of evil.
From what I have seen, Wicca is the fastest growing religion among high school students and college students in North America. And we have got kids in the church who are delving into Wicca. And part of that has to do with the whole experiential side of this generation, because this generation is all about experience.
The allure of movements like Wicca and the fascination with the power of witches and vampires is a disturbing trend the church can't ignore. Get informed and learn what you can do when you order Fear No Evil for just $15 by calling 1-800-922-1888 or at connectionradio.org.
Well, that book would make a great gift item to pass along to someone who might be struggling in those areas of Wicca, the paranormal, or other religions. Find out more at our website, connectionradio.org, or order it when you call 1-800-922-1888. That's also where you can order a copy of today's teaching for just $6, including shipping. 1-800-922-1888. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll send you that free bonus teaching from Skip called God is Not a Swear Word. It's a free gift for anyone who calls or writes us for the first time today. So if you've never done so before, pick up the phone and call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Next time, we'll begin our final message in this series as we explore how to practically apply all we've learned from studying the book of Revelation. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.